Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
We are talking today about this wisdom that descendeth not from above. James chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. James 3, 14 through 16. Now the Bible says, "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Now there's a wisdom that is prevalent in Christianity today, and it has nothing to do with the Lord. James here says that this wisdom descendeth not from above. Instead, it is earthly, sensual, and devilish. So today we're going to look at this counterfeit wisdom and notice some things. First of all, the wisdom that descendeth not from above is earthly. It's earthly. In other words, it is of men. This kind of wisdom comes from the world and is contrary to God. We have numerous Bible verses that remind us to be very careful about things that come from men and things that come from the world. For instance, when you're reading through Paul's epistles, he tells us in Colossians 2:8, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." You know, when Jesus Christ was here on the earth and he dealt with the Pharisees, he said to them that you are following the tradition of men, your own tradition. Mark chapter 7, and he said, "With this tradition of men, you have made of none effect the word of God." You see. So the problem is that when men put forth their wisdom and introduce it into Christianity, that is not God's wisdom. It is earthly wisdom. It is going to be cloaked as God's wisdom. It's going to be presented as God's wisdom, but it's not of God. It's of men. Paul was very, very careful when he was speaking with the Corinthians to make this distinction. He said in 1 Corinthians 2:1, "I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." He said in verse 4, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Why? Verse 5, "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." You see, that's that earthly wisdom. It is a wisdom that comes from men, not from God. Now, men who present that kind of wisdom will say, "The Lord gave me this," or "The Lord gave me that," or "I was praying," or "I was fasting," or whatever, "and God showed me these things." They will couch their wisdom in spiritual terms to make you think that it is from God. As a matter of fact, their presentation of it will actually make it look more spiritual than the wisdom that comes from the Lord, which makes it very difficult, of course. But it's still of men. this kind of wisdom comes from the world, and you have to understand that when it comes from the world, automatically this kind of wisdom is going to be contrary to God. In James chapter 4, James is talking about difficulty that people were having fighting among themselves and warring and lusting and having not and things like that. He said in James 4:4, he said, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." So when the world gives a wisdom that is introduced into Christianity, already you're dealing with a problem because it is contrary to God. All right, so when the Bible says, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, you have to recognize, and I have to recognize, that this wisdom that permeates Christianity in so many arenas today is not of God. They may quote Bible. They certainly will. It may be dressed very spiritually, and it will be. It's going to be lofty, okay? And it's going to be enticing, okay? But it's not of God. It did not descend from above. It's earthly. Men thought it up. Men thought it up. Take, for instance, the prosperity gospel being preached today. Men thought that up. Take, for instance, this type of psychology that has now been introduced into Christianity where people are quoting verses, but really what they've done is they have taken psychology and they found a few verses to make you think that they got their wisdom from the Bible. They didn't. They got it from psychology. That permeates modern Christian literature today in modern Christian bookstores. It's earthly. And we're going to talk about it all the way through this message, and you'll understand what the results are when we get to the end. Just understand something. This wisdom did not come from God. It is earthly. It came from men. It came from the world. Okay? Secondly, the wisdom that descendeth not from above is sensual. Sensual. Again, the wisdom that descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual. Sensual. That means it appeals to the senses. It is experienced in the flesh. It is rooted in lust. Now, you're going to see that when this kind of wisdom comes in, it often has an emotional appeal. Okay? It feels like something. Oftentimes when people have come back from walks to Emmaus and walks to Damascus, they talk about that night where everything is revealed, where kind of the secrets come out, where you become vulnerable and have to share these things with other people. And they talk about a feeling that overwhelms them, generally brings them to tears. And in that feeling, they sense a release, a victory, some very deep, what they think is spiritual awakening of God. But as you hear the descriptions, oftentimes what you're hearing is something that is very, very sensual. This kind of thing permeated Promise Keepers for a period of time, has shown up in these purpose-driven type movements, comes out very, very distinctly in the modern church where there is a pep rally type atmosphere with the concert and the band and the music to get people in that feeling of being in the presence of God. Sensual. The wisdom that descendeth not from above is sensual. You experience it in your senses. You experience it in your flesh. Deep down, it is rooted, no one would ever admit this, in lust. That feeling, you want to repeat. Okay? It is just the same kind of thing that people want when they first experience a high of some sort from some other fleshly, I don't even want to name the various kinds of ways that people can experience it. You understand, you know. And they feel that, they want that again. And they go back to whatever it is that gave them that feeling because they want that again. And, you know, it has to be ratcheted up a notch, as they say, to continue to gain the attention of the flesh and appeal to the senses, because they'll become deadened to anything that is not of that quality. That's why a lot of people that get into the modern Christian movements want nothing to do with traditional Christianity of hymns and, you know, King James Bible and 40 and 45 minute sermons and that kind of stuff. They're wanting something new. It's that sensuality. The wisdom that descendeth not from above is earthly, it's sensual, and it's devilish. Again, people wouldn't believe it, but it's from Satan. And because it is from Satan, it is widely accepted as true. You know, the broad way is the way that leads to destruction. It is widely accepted as true. And that's because of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15, the Bible says, such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now, unless you had some basis for understanding what a true apostle of Christ was, you would never recognize this person as not being an apostle of Christ. Why? Because he's transformed himself into an apostle of Christ, and he is a deceitful worker. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now notice he says their end shall be according to their works. In other words, you wouldn't notice it unless you had some basis of evaluation other than how it makes you feel and how widely accepted it is in modern circles and how reasonable it is according to earthly standards of wisdom. It's from the devil. It's from the devil. The devil gets involved in these things, and that's what puts a spirituality into it. It puts a spirituality into it that gives it the ring of truth. Okay? And when that spirituality comes in and gives the ring of truth, man, I'm telling you, you get hooked into that thing and you really can't find your way. You're just like, this has to be of God. There is a deep, deep spirituality in it. The devil is a very spiritual being, you understand. As a matter of fact, he had lofty aspirations of becoming as God. And so when you see that deep spirituality, listen, spirituality is connected with a lot of things. You know, Eastern-type religions and so forth have a lot of spirituality in them. And just because you see that spirituality doesn't mean that it's of God, because the devil is a very spiritual being. So the wisdom that descends not from above is earthly. It's of men, it's of the world, sensual. It appeals to your feelings, it appeals to your flesh, and it's devilish. The devil's behind it. Now, according to our passage in James chapter 3, verses 14 to 16, men who follow this wisdom that descendeth not from above do two things. Number one, they glory in their wisdom. They glory in their wisdom. Look what he says in verse 14. If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, watch it. Glory not. Glory not. The next thing he says, and lie not against the truth. That's the second part of the problem. Well, first of all, they glory in their wisdom. That is, there is a personal pride in what they know, and a personal pride that they know something you don't, something they figured out. Now, they may or they may not be willing to show it to you. If they are willing to show it to you, they're willing to show it to you in the form of a published book that makes them millions of dollars. It is the new motivational book, or the deeper walk with God, or the better, you know, the prayer of Jabez, or the purpose-driven life. It's this new thing. I mean, God's been around for 2,000 years, right? God's been around for 2,000 years. His word is not brand new. It was forever settled in heaven, and heaven and earth were going to pass away. The words of God are still going to be here. And suddenly these books come on the market, and they have these vast, vast sales, and all of this, everybody saying, man, did you read the new book by, you know, Joel Osteen or whatever, and that this is the great new thing. And so people, they latch on to the individuals associated with the great thing, with the great wisdom. In some cases, then, they're glorying in their wisdom, and they are willing to show it to you for a price. Okay? For a price. And in other cases, they may not be willing to show it to you, because what's happened is you're in a circle like a small church or something like that, and one person has this very, very unique combination of things he does that has given him an in to the depths of God. And he just can't show it to you because this is something that God gave him that is of superior personal quality, and it has made him a cut above the average Joe. God has given me something big. And so I can't show this to you, because for you to be included in this very special elite wisdom that I have, God would have to show you this himself. Because if I tried to show you, it's just greater than you can understand. You're a very carnal type person, and I'm a very spiritual type person. And so better that you just follow me than that I try to show you the depth of this great wisdom, this inside track that I have to God. You see that? Both ways, they're glorying in their wisdom. For one, they put a big price tag on it, sell it, and you pay them handily because they got into something big, connection to God. And or on the other hand, they're not willing to show it to you because they're in a very elite, special deal that only a few people are really able to kind of travel in this sphere of wisdom that I have here. They pride themselves, see. They pride themselves in those who they can get to follow them or to admire them for this great, deep thing. There's a new video out about, I think it's called After the Tribulation, and a fellow out in Arizona is supposed to have found the real secret to show how those who believe in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church are way off base because of these great things that I've seen, see, in the Scripture. Glory, see, glory in the wisdom. After all, I've memorized so much Bible, see, I'm a big shot. Men who follow this wisdom, the Bible shows you, they glory in their wisdom. That's why James told them, glory not. But then also they lie against the truth. In other words, a thorough, humble, truthful search of the Scripture reveals their error. However, they can't see it. Why? Because they have misapplied and wrested the Scripture to prove their point and to reinforce their error. You know, Peter warns us about men that do this kind of thing. He says in 2 Peter chapter 3, he says in verse 16, also in all his epistles, talking about Paul, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable, watch it, wrest as they do also the other Scriptures unto their own destruction. In other words, they've lied against the truth. They've wrested the Scripture to prove the point, to substantiate the wisdom. But you see, the wisdom never came from God in the first place. So the Scripture has to be misapplied in order to prove the point, okay, and rested in order to prove the point. If it had come from God, there wouldn't be any need to do that. So the only way they're going to be able to get over themselves, their glory, and their pride, and their problem is they're going to have to acknowledge the truth. And that's why he says, lie not against the truth. But boy, when you found this high spiritual plane where you're now really communing with God in a very high form of wisdom that the ordinary common Christian, Bible-believing Christian doesn't get to have, well, you get up there so high in your glory and so high in your misapplication of the Scripture, so connected in with the devil and so sure of the sensuality of what you believe and so confident in your earthly wisdom, you're generally not going to break from it, not at all. It's feeding your ego or it's feeding your pocketbook too much to break from it, okay? And I understand that, but it's still not right. The wisdom that descendeth not from above results in some things. Look again in James chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. It results in bitter envying. It results in strife, it results in confusion, and it results in every evil work. Look at it again. Verse 14, but if you have bitter envying and strife, there are those two, in your heart's glory not, lie not against the truth, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where, watch it, envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Four things, bitter envying, strife, confusion, every evil work. Now, the bitter envying is an underlying motive. There's an underlying motive of envy in their wisdom. And that underlying motive is to be as great as someone else, or to be greater than someone, some other people. In other words, oftentimes you find people that have this kind of wisdom comparing themselves among themselves. They say, I was raised in a very traditional church. I was raised around traditional standards. I was raised on biblical principle. But today, I have found this great wisdom, this great liberty in Jesus Christ, and so those guys are wrong. You see that? Those guys are wrong. This envy is truly bitter, and it results in strife. I mean, they look back on the days when they were confined in what they used to believe and now have been liberated from what they used to believe, and they're bitter about what they used to believe and the people that that helped them to believe those things. You understand? Now we're great. Now we've really accomplished. Now we've really arrived. We're free from all of that. Bitter envying. Also strife. In other words, when confronted by others about this wisdom, there is contention resulting from pride in this wisdom. And what happens often is that there are church splits and there's bickering disagreements. There's busted up marriages. There's busted up families. There's busted up churches. Listen, you're going to see when we do the next broadcast the wisdom that does descend from above. And it doesn't result in envy, and it doesn't result in strife. When there is a fight between people over what we believe versus what they believe, let's debate this. Let's go to the Scripture and sort it out. Let's contend. You know what that is? All of that is an indication that the type of wisdom being argued is not of God, but that it is earthly, sensual, and devilish. The very fact that there's envy, the very fact that there is strife, shows you that that wisdom did not come from God. You thought it up. The devil thought it up. Your flesh led you to it, or you were led to it by somebody else, and you found it very appealing. The wisdom that descendeth not from above results in bitter envying, strife, confusion, the Bible says. The confusion is twofold. First, the confusion comes from the fact that this wisdom is contrary to truth, and so it constantly has to be modified and explained. People say, well, what about this scripture? Then you got to have another debate. What about this scripture? Then you got to have another way of, well, the Greek said, the Hebrew said, we've got to change the scripture, make a different application, find an out-of-context verse, find incorrect cross-reference, anything. Constantly having to be modified and explained, okay? Rick Warren, for instance, wrote The Purpose-Driven Life, I read that. Somebody said it's a great book. And there are some points in there that make a lot of sense, okay? But when we got down to some of the other principles in that book, I thought to myself, this is going to be disastrous. One of the things I noticed was there were 18 different versions of the Bible that were being quoted in there. And it's very obvious why. If the other 17 versions that were being used didn't have the verse written just the way that it needed to be written so that the point could be proved, go get another version so that the verse will be written just the way you want it to be written so that it can prove the earthly wisdom. It's crazy. That's nonsense. An accountability group where you share it all and talk it all and gain some strength over sin in your life because you're letting it all hang out with somebody else in your group, man, I'm telling you, that is disastrous. That's defiling. It's church splitting. It creates problems and confusion. I'll tell you something. Another reason for the confusion is the confusion comes from the inconsistency in the lives of those who espouse it. Because you have an expectation that they should be able, with this great wisdom, to be a cut above the ordinary citizen, and they're not. They're not. Their lives are inconsistent. Jesus Christ did that with the Pharisees. They had their great traditions and all their great earthly, sensual, devilish stuff going on. And the Lord said, you're a bunch of hypocrites. And he called their hand on it. Of course, their bitter envying led them to put him on the cross and kill him. You see over and over and over again in this modern Christianity, adultery going on as just one of the sins. What is that? Extortion. And you see embezzlement, and you know that's from lust. You know that's from worldliness. You know that's what James was talking about in James 4:4, you adulterers and adulteresses. men making friendship with the world and becoming enemies of God. And then he says this wisdom that descendeth not from above results in every evil work. Sin abounds in this wisdom. And of course it will, because it is never recognized as sin by those who are having trouble with it. Their wisdom allows them to redefine sin so that what sins they commit are excluded from the list of transgressions that God has. And they can say, oh yeah, well, what I do that is some sort of you name it type sin, my pride or my envy or my anger or my righteousness, my self-righteousness or my, you know, homosexuality or my adultery or my whatever I'm involved in is excused by God and my newfound wisdom, so I'm off the list, you see. There's a group called hyper-dispensationalists that do that. They just keep chopping the Bible down until what you end up with is a few of Paul's epistles that don't have anything to say about all the sins they commit in their lives, and they're able to commit those sins in their lives because Paul, in those few little epistles, didn't have anything to say about what they're doing. So now they're excluded, see. And so James says, you can tell when somebody is following the wisdom that descendeth not from above because they're involved in every evil work. Okay? The love of money is the root of all evil, the Bible says, and they love it in spite of the fact that they tell you they don't. So the wisdom that descendeth not from above is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Men glory in it, and they lie against the truth to continue to believe it. It results in bitter envying, strife, confusion, and every evil work. And when you see these things, these four things, going on, you know that you or whoever it is following the wrong kind of wisdom. So the trouble is not with those who don't agree with it. The trouble is with those who are following it. So let me just say this to conclude today. It's easier for others to see that you are following this earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom than it is for you to see that you're following it. Why? Because you're kind of hooked on the feeling. And you're convinced by the devil in deception. You know the way out? You have to acknowledge the truth. You have to repent. And you've got to turn away from this wisdom that descendeth not from above. And I pray to God you can and will. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.